France is mourning after the terrorist attacks Friday. Now, details of the investigation into the assault are trickling out. A car was discovered in the eastern suburbs of Paris today. It's prompted police to start looking for what they believe may be an eighth assailant associated with Friday's attacks. NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston has been following the investigation. She joins me now in the studio. Dina, what are we learning about the attackers?
Well, we know that there are at least seven people who were involved directly in the killings, and officials haven't provided much information about them, aside from saying that they worked in these three teams to launch the attacks simultaneously. They died in the attacks, and six of them detonated suicide vests, so it's taking some time to identify them. My sources say one of them was a Frenchman named Omar Ishmael Mostafe. He had a criminal record. He was known to French authorities and was thought to have radicalized in 2010. Mm-hmm. Authorities saw him as a risk, but he was never linked to a terrorist plot. And we're still trying to find out about the others. It's a question of whether or not, for example, he traveled to Syria last year. There was a Syrian passport that was actually found outside the stadium where there were those two suicide bombers. And it appears to belong to a man who came through Greece as a refugee in October. But people I'm talking to say they aren't sure the passport is real.
No. These were simultaneous attacks that clearly required some sort of training, right? What are officials thinking about how this all came together?
Well, this is really different from the Al-Qaeda model. In the old days, Al-Qaeda used to have someone who showed up in Pakistan or in Yemen, and they offered to help launch an attack in the West. Mm-hmm. They would train them for about 6 weeks, then they would return to Europe or the U.S., and then invariably something went wrong. They either couldn't make the explosives work or authorities discovered them. This is different. ISIS is sending people who have been battle-hardened, people who've been fighting for months or years, and now they're coming back to the West. So they're essentially professionals, not the amateurs that Al-Qaeda used to send. The concern is they may come back to Europe with people they know and have fought with on the battlefield, so they're actually a cohesive unit who have had an opportunity to work together. And that creates a situation in which ISIS has much more capable people to call on if they want to launch an attack like this. Now, I should say that officials are still trying to determine if that happened here, but that's the situation they're looking at.
But when we think back to this past January, after the Charlie Hebdo attacks, clearly France must have bolstered security to the degree that they could. That was insufficient, apparently.
Well, this is a numbers problem. About 1,200 people have left France to go and fight in Syria with ISIS, and about 200 of them have returned to France. So to watch someone 24 hours a day requires 10 to 12 people doing surveillance for just one person.
Wow.
So think about the math and how many people that would require. So French intelligence has had to make educated guesses about who's the most dangerous. Now, the two brothers who were behind the Charlie Hebdo attacks, they'd been tracked by police for years. And then 6 months before the attacks, they stopped following them because they thought they weren't a threat.
Huh.
That's the problem. It's an impossible situation, and it's happening all over Europe.
Is it happening in the U.S.? Does the U.S. have this kind of numbers problem?
We've been reporting for some time that the FBI is tracking dozens of people who have returned to the U.S. from Syria. FBI Director James Comey has said that he believes they have a very good handle on who went and came back. So the U.S. doesn't have the numbers problem that Europe does.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the U.S. is immune to this. I mean, all the problems of professional fighters could be here, but the numbers are much more manageable.
NPR counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston tracking this investigation. Thank you so much, Dina.
You're welcome.